Time and Again by Jack Finney. Narrated by Jeff Harding. Chapter 1. In shirt sleeves, the way I generally worked, I sat sketching a bar of soap taped to an upper corner of my drawing board. The gold foil wrapper was carefully peeled back so that you could still read most of the brand name printed on it. I'd spoiled the wrappers of half a dozen bars before getting that effect. This was a new idea, the product to be shown ready for what the accompanying copy called fragrant, lathery, lovelier you use. And I had the job of sketching it into half a dozen layouts, the bar of soap at a slightly different angle in each. It was just exactly as boring as it sounds, and I stopped to look out the window beside me, down 12 stories at 54th Street, and the little heads moving along the sidewalk. It was a sunny, sharply clear day in mid-November, and I'd have liked to be out in it, the whole afternoon ahead, and nothing to do. Nothing I had to do, that is. Over at the paste-up table, Vince Mandel, our lettering man, thin and dark and probably feeling as caged up today as I was, stood working with the airbrush, a cotton surgical mask over his mouth. He was spraying a flesh-colored film onto a Life magazine photo of a girl in a bathing suit. The effect, when he finished, would be to remove the suit, leaving the girl apparently naked, except for the ribbon she wore slanted from shoulder to waist, on which was lettered Miss Business Machines. This kind of stunt was Vince's favorite at-work occupation ever since he'd thought of it, and the retouched picture would be added to a collection of others like it on the art department bulletin board, at which Maureen, our 19-year-old paste-up girl and messenger, refused ever to look or even glance, though often urged. Frank Dapp, our art director, a round little package of energy, came trotting toward his partitioned-off office in the northeast corner of the artist's bullpen. As he passed the big metal supply cabinet just inside the room, he hammered violently on its open door, yodeling at full bellow. It was an habitual release of unused energy, like a locomotive jetting steam, a startling eruption of sound. But neither Vince nor I nor Carl Jonas at the board ahead of mine glanced up. Neither did anyone in the typist pool outside, I knew, although strangers waiting in the art department reception room just down the hall had been known to leap to their feet at the sound.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?